Hello, I'm Scott Levine, and you're listening to the Hood Rat Recap Podcast.
We started a podcast about the best bar band in the land, man. This is the Hood Rat Recap, and we are back. We are your steady stream of the unified scene, all the news and reviews of the band that you love, we love, and a runner's high is one high that Kevin's never tried. I'm pretty sure about that. Hello, everybody. This is Stage Right Mike on the mic, and I can talk hold steady all night. And when I want to talk hold steady heavy, I like to throw up the rat signal. And just like that, the Hood Rat Pack has assembled. Hark, that very majestic noise can only be the Unified Scene's very own King of Queens, Gasper. Gasper, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, Mike. But you know what? I've been trying to get people to call me Fred Astaire.
Why is that, Gasper?
Because I got smooth moves, man.
Gasper, how's that going for you?
Not so good, man. Not so good. People keep calling me Rachel Gunn.
I don't even know who that is.
Wow, crickets.
Is Rachel Gunn the breakdancer from Australia? That's a very, very niche reference. And after seeing her dancing... Her dancing is still better than this fucking Freddie Knuckles. I mean, I could flop like a fish and win a medal, but literally you will never win a medal for these fucking Freddie Knuckles. They are god awful.
I mean, I'm okay. Trying to be topical.
I'm just going to play my music.
And that's the sound of our producer and third mic. Kevin is whatever. Kevin, how you doing?
I mean, I was great right up until the terrible Olympics reference, and like, you gotta feel bad for that poor girl on the world's biggest stage thinking somebody told me that she teaches and studied breakdancing.
Hold on, not only does she teach and study breakdancing, she has a PhD in breakdancing, so I do not feel bad.
No, I mean, by that logic, I have a PhD in couch surfing. Like, what does that mean? How do you get a PhD in breakdancing?
I've seen Breaking 2 Electric Boogaloo 8 times. Does that give me a PhD in breakdancing?
No shit. Ozone and Turbo are way better than this girl was. And I think they're both dead, unfortunately. Rest in peace. Like, but come on, we got to save the rec center. And if this girl dancing to save the rec center, there ain't no money coming in.
All right. Well, we got a pretty good show for you. But before we get into what we're going to do, we had a caller for a callback to our last show, the Yacht Rock show. And why don't we check out what he had to say? This is Mike from Roanoke.
Hey there, fellow Hood Rats. It's Mike from Roanoke. Loved the Yacht Rock episode. I'm a big fan of the Yacht Rock. I think it's good that Gasper said he's on the dock. I figured he wouldn't even be in the marina. Before too long, we will get Gasper wearing the captain's hat like the skipper he wanted to be. So I went a little different with my song. You guys all picked Yacht Rock songs for the Hold Steady to cover. I'm going with the song that the Hold Steady song that I think is the most Yacht Rockish. I'm going with Understudy. It's got the horns at the beginning. It's got a little bit of a jazzy swing feel to it, the harmony backing vocals. I think that is probably the most Yacht Rock Hold Steady song, and it's one of my favorites off Price Progress. See y'all at the next show, fellas.
All right. That's a good point, man. We didn't think about that. And when he said it, I was like, damn, how did we miss that?
I will say this. Thank you, Mike, for at least agreeing with Mike and I that the Yacht Rock episode was awesome.
Oh, I knew I always liked that Mike from Roanoke. He's got great taste.
He's got great taste. And we've had to get texts. You guys don't get to see our text chains where Gasper's just been groaning about still talking about Yacht Rock and how much it still bothers him that we had to do that. But hearing Mike validate what we said, and yeah, I agree with you, Mike. I don't think he would have been in the Marina at all, but, you know, we swayed him. He still doesn't want to admit it, but after hearing the Craig Finn version of Baker Street, I think he's dreamt about it. It's in his head.
Oh, it's definitely been in my dreams. I will say that. I mean, look, I had a great time on that Yacht Rock episode. I really did. I'm glad we did it. I am still not a Yacht Rock fan. Oh. It is what it is. But I will still get excited when they walk out to Lido Shuffle. So there's that.
What do you guys think? Understudies, I think that's an interesting choice. I still think the first 30 seconds of Understudies sounds like West Side Story to me. Sounds like, because I guess it kind of takes place on the stage. But then I think Mike from Roanoke's right. I think it really does go into a Yacht Rock theme. And I just like making the musical analogies because I want Gasper's wife, Heather. She's that audible gasp you heard. She's gasping now at how wrong I got that reference. But
I know it was pretty. Everybody heard it. I will say this, like, the Understudies gets me thinking that maybe at some point we're going to have to do a Yacht Rock Part 2 episode. I mean, it could just be we need to, like, sink Gasper like Gilligan's Island. Just put him, like, leave him. So maybe we'll come back to this topic. I do think the Understudies brings a good story because now that I listen back to that song, I feel he may be onto something. And maybe if I dig around, I could find a Yacht Rock-ish Hold Steady song, and that could be a whole other conversation.
All right. Well, we'll see about that. But in the meantime, we have a whole episode for you. Mike, what are we doing today?
Today, we got Bill Childs, and he is the founder of the Hold Sweaty. Now, what is the Hold Sweaty, you ask you? We're going to find out. It's a pretty great group, a little subgroup on Facebook, and we're going to have a great talk with Bill. He's an old radio guy. He does a radio show forever, and let's get into it.
Ah, let's check it out.
Hey, we are joined by Bill Childs of the Hold Sweaty, and thanks for being here, Bill.
It's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
And Bill, I guess I'm going to ask the question that needs to be asked. What is the Hold Sweaty?
Yeah, so the Hold Sweaty is a very informal group of people who are fans of the Hold Steady, for the most part, although we've actually had at least one person show up for an event who wasn't particularly a big fan, who run and or walk or stumble around. And since 2017, we've been getting together from time to time, sort of in connection with Hold Steady shows and doing runs, usually 3 to 6 miles, something like that.
So you say it started in 2017, but where did the idea come from and sort of how did you even like get this, you know, the name is an easy play on the band name, but how did this whole idea of like, hey, let's get a bunch of like-minded runners who like the same band together? Was it around a show? Was it around just looking for people to run with?
Yeah, it was. So way back, and one of you may remember the year of this, there was the Kickstarter where one of the things you could get was going for a run with Craig Finn. And I did that had a good time. We are basically exactly the same age, both grew up in the Twin Cities suburbs, went to a lot of the same shows as a kid. It turns out he went to, back in the very early 90s, I ran a record store that, and we had Green Day come to an in-studio or an in-store, and we figured out that he was at that show. So we'd actually spent time in the same room before. Anyway, so that sort of connected Hold Steady in my brain with running. And then there was also a Runner's World article about Craig around that same time that I got interviewed for. So my brain is weird in that way where things kind of putter along. And then at some point, I think I was texting with my friend Jason, who I go to the Brooklyn shows with every year when he can go anyway, and said, hey, we should maybe do a run. And then that very stupid pun came into my mind, and the pun annoyed Brendan Hilliard, who does social media for the band. And so I decided that absolutely had to be the name of it. And so it was in connection with the Brooklyn run in 2017, was the first time. And that's the event, the show every year that it most consistently happens. It's mostly been Brooklyn runs, and then two or three in the Twin Cities, and there may have been some elsewhere. I can't think. I don't think I've been to any others.
Nice. I remember what you're talking about with the it was Craig's second record that he did that for through Pledge Music.
Okay.
That was the year I did the record shopping with him. But so I have to ask, is Craig a good runner?
I kept up with him okay. And that was after, it was in between a couple of shows. This was in Austin during South By. I actually thought it was the I'm blanking on the name of it, the record that was the benefit for the fan in Jersey. But you may be right, there was a Pledge Music thing.
Oh, you know what? There might have been more than one.
Or you might have done it, yeah, a couple of different things.
Okay.
So yeah, I went and saw him at a show in Austin during South By, met up with him, and we ran to another winner of the prize, which that one was a show in their house. And so I got, and I was just going to go back home, and they said, oh, stick around. So I got to run basically a 5K with Craig, and I kept up. Like I said, he's not super fast, but I am very definitely not super fast. I think he's probably a little, at least at the time, this is quite a few years ago now, a little faster than I am. And then I got to stay and watch like a 3 or 4 song set in this house, which was pretty damn good, I would say.
Awesome. Now, awesome. Did you, so kind of along the same lines, do you remember the year Rob Sheffield did the tour of Brooklyn?
Did
you go on that?
I did. It was fun. Yeah. As I recall, it was like it got started really late, or I don't remember. There was some kerfuffle around it. But yes, I did go on that.
I only bring that up because that ended up being a 7-mile walk.
Oh, was that? I didn't remember how far.
That was the longest walk I've ever been on in my life.
Well, now you're a member of the Hold Sweaty. Get a shirt.
You can do the Hold Sweaty.
We do have people. Like I talk about it as a running thing. There are people who definitely, like Cammy, run walks every year. Like there are people who come and just go for a walk. It's just a time to get together and think during a stretch of time that might not usually be a time that you're thinking about being healthy, just a little bit of a stretch of being healthy. And it makes it so that, like, it's usually Saturday morning during the Brooklyn shows. And so it makes me maybe pull back a little bit on what I would do otherwise on Friday night. So, because I'm like, I got to wake up and run.
Awesome. Now, I remember one year in Brooklyn, you guys did like a figure eight, like the infinity symbol was the setup. Is there always a theme behind it like that?
No, or? that was just, well, so there have been two, I think just two where there's been a theme. That was one. And then in connection with Surly Fest here in the Twin Cities, whenever that was, that was probably 2018, something like that. We started in downtown Minneapolis and hit, I don't remember all of the different landmarks, but I put together a route where we'd go to where the Rainbow Foods used to be. And I don't even remember what else, but went up in the Northeast and saw stuff. Well, City Center, of course, used to be Center of Racine, and did sort of those sorts of things. The other two that we've done in the Twin Cities have just been in St. Paul, very close to my house because I'm lazy. So those have not been as, I think we got down no, we didn't. I was thinking we got to somewhere in St. Paul. Anyway, so those have been the main themes. I'm mostly too lazy. I did at one point, this was not a thing I was ever actually going to do, but put together a running route based on, you know, Take Larry Out East of the Quarry. All of the directions in that song, I put together a running route as best as I could. And it came out to being, I don't remember, it was just about a half marathon or just about a full marathon. It would be a terrible, terrible running route because it involves going under a bunch of interstates and stuff. I should see if I can find that route though.
That would be fun to see. I mean, I wouldn't do it, but I'll drive it behind me. Be real about it. So I also curious that when you do it, how many runners do you have that don't wear sneakers? Are there many? Because I know one guy in this call right now that likes to run with no shoes, and I'm just curious if you.
That's
run
the
into
only
that
one.
Lot. Oh, okay.
I think that's the only barefoot we've ever had was Mike.
There you go. You're the Hold Sweaty lone shoeless runner there, Mike.
I think that's how I introduced myself to Bill. I was kicking my shoes off, going, "Hey, I'm Mike," and I was kicking them off against the coffee shop. And I'll get those.
It's like,
those
what are you doing, man? That's.
It's like, we got to go to dinner for myself. Take your shoes off.
Yeah, no, my wife is a pretty serious runner, and she doesn't run barefoot, but I've been around enough like serious runners to know that that is a thing. And I think she did the very sort of minimalist shoes at one point, and she's back to normal shoes, like a normal human, Mike, just for the record.
I get the concept, but like if you're running through like not a designated track, You know what I mean? Like, right. Why would you do that?
There's parts of Brooklyn that I don't want to walk in with shoes, let alone like run through with no shoes. So like, that's where it's a thing that's lost on me.
I've run the Las Vegas Strip barefoot, so you got to give me some credit there.
All right. I give you all the credit for doing it. Let me state on the record, I totally respect that you do it. I just don't understand it.
Right.
It's like core math. I'll never understand that either, but I don't need to, so it's okay. I was going to ask you, Bill, I know you did the one run with Craig. Have any of the band guys ever joined you since? Has Craig ever been like, hey, Al? No?
No, I emailed Craig the first or second year about it, and he said, you know, by Saturday morning during that series, I just need to be in bed for as long as I can. It takes a lot. But totally, totally fair.
Understand that. So.
Yeah, and Craig might be the only... I know he's done a half marathon in the last couple of years, and he might be the only one that runs in the band, I'm thinking.
I feel like... I thought I'd seen that Steve did at some point, but I think Craig is certainly the one who's serious about that. I mean, they may be serious about fitness in other ways. I'm not suggesting otherwise, but yes, Craig, I think, is the one who's still a runner for sure.
Right. And that kind of makes sense because, like, thinking about how they look over the years, he's probably the one that's had the most significant body image change. He's definitely lost a lot of weight over the years.
Yeah,
so, I agree. That would make sense. So when you are running, what Hold Steady song are you running to?
Well, with the group, we're not running a song at all, but I do a lot of this. I didn't used to listen to a lot of music when I was running. I listened to a lot of podcasts. One of the things I did, we moved up to Minnesota, back to Minnesota. I'd grown up here in June of 2020, which was a wild time to move anywhere, specifically a wild time to move to Minnesota. So I did a lot of running just to sort of clear my head. And, one of the things that I started doing then was listening to a lot of the live shows, because we weren't going to live shows, as you may recall. Right. And I found those to be a good way to get my brain going and to feel sort of, here's a thing that's familiar that I hope I'm going to get to go back to. Because there was a big stretch there where it was unclear whether that was going to happen, right? Like I'm in my family room and we watched the Brooklyn Bowl live stream here, which was cool. It was great. But that was what a lot of what it was especially live shows that I had been to, like that was a comfort place for me. So
that's such a great idea. Actually. So I recently started getting on a treadmill and
good for you.
My trick for myself to not watch the clock is to count songs. Because you never really know how long a song is, but that might even be better because you really don't know how long a live song is going to be.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, just to force myself to keep going.
And good job getting on the treadmill. Let me just put out, like, when I started running, I'm definitely not a lifelong runner, and it was probably 10 or 15 years ago now. I started on the treadmill. I was like, oh, this could be easier. I don't have to deal with it. It is so much more fun to get outside. I'll just put that out there.
Cool.
So, yeah. But good job getting on the treadmill. Yes, yeah, yeah. And you know, if you... Join us. Come. And again, you don't have to be fast.
Yeah. I don't know if you're like me, but when I go to these Brooklyn shows, these long shows, it's like an endurance event. At the end of the night, I'm just wiped out. And I think my running kind of helps me because, like, first of all, I dehydrate myself so I don't have to pee the whole time I'm there. And then and then I'm just kind of hanging on to the end of the show. Do you kind of get the same sensation or is that just me?
No, definitely not just you. Even just over the course of the time that those shows have been happening, I have realized how much I need, I have to pace myself like I'm doing a long run or a race or whatever. I've only done one marathon, but I've done a bunch of half marathons. And like that first year, the first night, I missed the very first show because I don't know if you remember, it was originally announced as Thursday through Saturday and they added the Wednesday date and I already bought my plane ticket. So my first of those shows was the Thursday night. But I went out afterwards with a bunch of the substantially younger folks and I realized very quickly that that was not sustainable, that I needed to the early show, the Wednesday and Thursday shows need to be where I have like a beer and stand at the back and like be very sort of intentional about it. Same way that like if you go out too fast on a race. And like I said, it makes me think about, okay, I'm going to get up on Saturday. People are expecting me to be there. It's not like I'm going out to race, but I got to wake up and I got to be at whatever park. I think we usually start at like 10 a.m. So I definitely pace myself in that way, Mike. I definitely agree with that.
So I know the Hold Sweaty started in 2017, but what was sort of your first introduction to the band as a whole? Was it through your radio gig? Did you find them? How did you discover the band? We kind of ask everybody that's on the show. That's a historical question.
I mean, it goes back a long ways. I mean, I was aware of Lifter Puller. I don't think I ever saw them until sort of when they opened for the whole city. But my friend Gretchen was one of the owners of the Triple Rock, where they played a lot in Minneapolis. This is when we lived elsewhere, but I went to high school with Gretchen. And so it was almost certainly Almost Killed Me. I'm trying to think about when I would have heard. I heard that album for sure on the radio, and definitely listened to it. The first time I saw them, I guess I could figure that out. At least I could figure out the first time I documented it. I can look at concert archives real quick. 2006.
That's impressive that you have that. I wish there's been so many shows that I've forgotten in my life, like between work and what I do. Like, you go to so many shows that it really gets hard to remember.
Yeah, I mean, my documentation is good in the era of social media, because I can just go back, and I use Concert Archives is the program I use. And the earliest show I have documented, I don't think was the earliest, but it was December of 2006 at Pearl Street in Northampton, and then a bunch in 2009. And I mean, you didn't ask, but I'm going to say, like, one of the most important ones for me was they were in Northampton at the Iron Horse, which is a small venue, 250 capacity or something like that. Definitely an underplay for them. And I actually know a little bit about why, but that was the first non-kids rock show, like club rock show, that my daughter had gone to. And so to get to see them in a tiny room, with her, it was just great. And she has continued to come to the Brooklyn shows. Like, I would kind of finagle it so that she could come in even when she was in college, but not yet 21. And it's just like this every year. Pivotal point for us. Like, it's a great touch point for us.
I mean, it's awesome that you have like that family moment too. I've seen that now with a few of the people I've been working with, where it's like you're seeing the parents pass down the music to the kids, and the kids are coming, and like that you've been able to do that all these years. And to this day, she still comes with you to the Brooklyn Bowl. So like, she'll be there in December. That's amazing.
I expect She's in Providence now. She's doing grad school at Brown. And so it's an easy trip for her. Her girlfriend now comes to the shows too. I've got her into it too. So it's pretty great.
I feel like that's just how everybody discovers this band.
It's a cult, bro.
The kids of their own have kids at the shows.
Now, I've blanked on the name of the book that that they came out with last year, but I've got an essay in there, and it is about that exactly, about the kids of the shows having kids of their own.
Oh, you mean the coffee table book?
Yeah.
I mean, so that's awesome. I mean, that's a very cool thing that you have, and that experience that you could share. So you said you kind of know the reason why it was an underplay, and I know we're not really talking about it, but now I'm just curious, and I'm sure the fans listening that are into the band like we are would want to know what put them in that space.
Yeah,
give us the inside dirt from all those years back.
So what I understand, and I can't say that it's definitively true. So Northampton, Massachusetts, Western Mass, small market, not a ton of venues, and one guy owned all of them. That's no longer the case. He finally gave them up, but he had everything from the Iron Horse, and actually an even smaller place called The Basement, up through the Calvin, which is, I don't know, 1,500 capacity room, something like that. Pearl Street was the place they'd been. Just notoriously terrible venue. It's two-level venue. Nobody has bought that, which gives you a sign of how terrible it is. Both rooms are terrible. And what I understand is that basically the sound was so bad there, and the band's front of house sound people were like, just don't go back there, or I'll quit, basically. And I actually saw Craig on a solo show there years later at Pearl Street, where somebody else had booked it. And he as much as was like, yeah, somebody else booked it, otherwise I wouldn't be here. Just a terrible, terrible room. But the Iron Horse is a great room. They closed down for a long time. The owner of that and the Calvin, who was pretty notorious for treating employees and bands badly, finally sold it, and it's now owned by a pretty cool nonprofit, and they've started booking shows again there, which is great.
Oh, that's very cool.
All right, Bill. So where can everybody find the Hold Sweaty? Where can they find information on that?
Yeah, so we basically have a group on Facebook. If you search for the Hold Sweaty, I think it's a private group, but it's not an exclusive group. I just keep it private to keep it from getting overrun with spammers. But yeah, just join there, or if you find me on Blue Sky or something, or Instagram or whatever, I will let you know about events. But it's basically The only one that happens every year is the Saturday during Brooklyn. I certainly expect to be out there again. They haven't actually announced the shows yet, I don't think, but
no,
I'll be there.
They haven't.
I assume that's coming.
Aren't we kind of guessing what weekend that would be? I think we kind of were.
So it's always
the
same weekend. It's going to be the weekend after Thanksgiving.
Right, which this year was late, which
yeah,
I think
so
was gonna
be
part
December
of the, like,
dates,
I think it's
yeah.
December now that would yep. be.
Yeah. I think that's right.
Yeah. So if it's the first Saturday in December, I'm trying to
Yeah, it should be the December 4th through 7th.
Right. Mm-hmm. So probably be the 7th, right? Would be the day.
Yeah. So it'll definitely be the morning of the 7th. I realize I should probably do something elsewhere. One, you can also get the shirts on Zazzle, I believe is the name of the thing, to search for the whole sweaty.
Oh, cool. Give Mike a link and we'll definitely put that in the show notes.
I will do so.
Yeah, I got my cool 2019 one.
It is as cheap as Zazzle will allow me to make them. and this year is the First Avenue Star with the Hold Sweaty.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I got to get that. That looks really... You do a great job. Every year they look cool, and I'm like, okay, I got enough, and then you come up with one the next year. I'm like, oh, I got to get that one. That one's too cool.
I guess this is the 8th year, right? It's 7th actually happening, because 2020 didn't happen. So, yeah, I guess this is the 8th shirt, too, which is crazy.
Awesome.
Which means now you got to start planning the 10th anniversary run of what that's going to be. Oh, man. It's right around the corner.
Yeah.
It is.
I wanted to put out a challenge. You know, we got a lot of listeners in Australia and UK. I don't know if we have any international fans on the Hold Sweaty yet, but they can do like an international chapter of that.
Absolutely.
If they joined up on.
I would love for there to be.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I would love for there to be events happening elsewhere. And because I definitely don't make it to all the shows. And some of the, like I did Chicago whenever the Salt Shed shows were, and I didn't get anything together there because I just didn't get anything together. But yeah, for the last several years, we meet up at McCarran Park. It's a good place to meet. We usually do a little loop, go down the waterfront. And back again. One year we met at Prospect Park and did a run around there, but that was a hassle. That was a year that I was staying over by Prospect Park, but McCarran Park is much more convenient.
Gotcha.
It's a fun, chill group. It really is not a thing where you have to be a serious runner at all. I don't think I am a particularly serious runner. I run a fair amount, but not fast and not terribly far.
I can say as a guy who doesn't run, anytime I see, like, even at Citi Field near where they are, they always have these runs, and I'm like, ah, it'd be fun, but, like, I just don't run. Like, I don't condition, and I have the Couch to 5K app on my phone, and I think I get through day 3, and then I'm back on the couch. So one day, I'm going to knock that out.
That's well, how about goal. A couch to walk?
We gotta get
just couch
all right,
to walk.
All right.
And you can walk with Cammy, and I think Jason walked 1 year because I think he was injured 1 year. So there are definitely people who just meet up as a reason to get up on Saturday. And sometimes I think, I don't remember if this is the case, I think sometimes they just hang out at the park for a little bit and go get bagels. That's fine too. But just getting a little bit of...
Yeah, like I'm going to start the Hold Spready, where you just go get bagels. That's it now. I'm the Hold Spready.
The Hold Smeary. Yeah, I mean, go out and just see the sun is kind of good, right? Because it's really easy, for me anyway, on those 4-day runs to just like collapse in the Airbnb or the hotel or whatever and just like scroll and on your phone. And it's better for your brain to see the sun. Like the Saturday show is more fun for me for having gone and run that morning.
Right. Okay. Well, now that I've gotten on the treadmill, I'm going to try to get there on Saturday. But so the marathon that happens on Friday might prevent that from me. but we'll see.
That's part of your conditioning. This is your training.
It's yeah, well, join the group. Yeah.
That's
we'll
it.
Together. Yeah.
All right, cool.
Well, I was just going to say, I was going to tell all our listeners to join the Hold Sweaty. And Kevin, too, I think you should join just because... If nothing else, you'll get inspired just by
watching
the
post join
of the
and,
fans running. And
if not, I will be the bagel group. I will totally start the bagel cream cheese group.
You can
the
be
whole
the
Hold
Spready, yeah. Guys, it's been a couple episodes since we done it, and I'm hearing all of you how much you love this segment, and I know you miss it. And today we brought in a special guest. We're going to keep Bill Childs here, so there's going to be four of us doing Diamonds in the Drain.
those purple mountain majesty above that fruited plain. There were diamonds in the drain.
And if you can't remember, this is when we rolled the 12-sided D&D dice. And of course, as Gasper and Kevin assured me, D&D stands for Diamonds in the Drain. But since we're just coming to the end of the Olympics, I think the Olympics will be over by most of the time you hear this. We're going to assign one song a gold medal, one song a silver medal, and one song a bronze medal. So does that make sense, guys?
It does. You got your die handy? It does.
All right. Let's see what song, what vaunted song we're going to be hearing. And guys, I got a one.
The first track.
So
this is gonna be an interesting one, actually.
This'll be fun because most people do know track ones on every record. Mike, what do you got on Almost Killed Me?
On Almost Killed Me, I got Let's Start It Out with a Positive Jam.
Gasper, what do you got for Separation Sunday?
Separation Sunday is Hornets, Hornets.
That's correct. Don't forget the exclamation points. And then on Boys and Girls in America, it is Stuck Between Stations.
And see, Bill, it's a drinking game where every time we say this one's really difficult or I like all these songs the same, everybody listening at home has to take a drink. But I think we should be, so a lot of people listen to this podcast driving, so I think we should keep it cool, guys.
But we do say that every time. It's like, oh man, how are we going to choose between these three songs?
Yeah.
And since we have a guest, I think we should let Bill go first, sure. As we usually do. Every time
the sacrificial lamb.
And as we like to say, there's no wrong answers, but we will judge you.
I understand, yeah. So do you want me to give you all three, like the full rundown here?
You could do your gold, your bronze, your silver. You could do them in any order you want, however you feel, whichever one's the easiest, however you want.
All right.
The floor is yours.
And a little bit of a reason why, basically.
Yeah, yeah. So I will start off by saying this is really tough, right? There are...
Everybody drink.
First tracks are first tracks for a reason. I'm putting Positive Jam in bronze, and I think that is actually a relatively easy one for me. And it isn't that I don't think it's a great song. I think it's a great starter. I think it is a great show starter. I think it is, all of that, but I think it is, just a little bit less complete than the other two songs. So silver, I have Hornets, Hornets. That one, the silver and gold, I could easily swap. And if you asked me, really this whole list, if you asked me 10 times, you'd probably get 7 different answers. I think Positive Jam would usually be in the bronze spot. Hornets, Hornets, there's not much to say about it, other than the fact that it is just a killer start to the album. I think it sets the table for the album really well. And you know kind of what you're in for. And Stuck Between Stations, you know, we were talking before we came on recording about how sometimes people are going to be too cool, and I suspect it's going to be the case again here, to use the popular song as their favorite. But there's a reason it's a popular song. It is an absurdly good song. It is also a song that, and you may know the data, I suspect that it gets played at shows almost as often as any other song, like probably up there in the top 3 or 4, maybe.
Right.
And again, there's a reason that it is as much of a crowd pleaser as it is. It tells a really interesting story. It tells it well. It's musically terrific. And I feel like it fits very comfortably in the gold spot for me. But so would Hornet Hornets.
All right.
Which brings us to our barefoot runner, Mike. What do you got?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we can just do drinking games all day on this because I like all these songs. as always. I'm going to go with Hornets in the Bronze. I mean, I love that opening where it goes left, right. If that's the best song I think of theirs to listen on headphones, when it goes left, right at the beginning of the song there. Just love that. I love all the Edina references there. For those of you that don't know Hornets is Edina, who has a very famous high school hockey team. They're the Edina Hornets. So I don't know if everybody knows that or cares, but that's what that's from. And then this, it really gets difficult. I think I'm going to have to go silver. I'm going to go with Positive Jam, man, though. But when I think of the Hold Steady, I always think of Craig doing that call and response. And then, you know, the music come crashing, kind of like almost like a beat poet type thing. And they said when this group started out, the Hold Steady, Craig was just pacing back and forth and then and singing out lyrics. And then Tad was doing guitar riffs over him. And I think that's how this song got. I can hear that in this song. I think that's how this song got created. Man, I just love that song. It's too great to be a silver, but that's what makes this game so hard. And then I'm going with Stuck Between Stations. My Twin City-ness and me doesn't allow me to put it any lower. it's one of the quintessential Twin City songs. I love the part where he says, you know, he hates the dehydration. I already said the word dehydration once in this episode, so I thought that was pretty funny. So yeah, it's difficult. There's no good, like Bill said, I could switch the order at any time, but that's what I'm going with. So there. And then Gasper, are you next? Who's going next?
I think it's me. All right. So I hate to echo Mike, but I kind of got to agree. So when I do this, I usually say, like, I kind of think about this in three categories. It's like, well, which is the best song? Which is the song that kind of, especially that we're doing the first three records, kind of lends itself to the storyline or is quintessential to the storyline? And which song comes off the most live? And it's difficult with this one in that live category because these are always, all three of these songs can be show openers. And you look for them to be show openers, but I think Positive Jam is one of those songs that, like, this is where a lot of people kind of were like, what the hell is going on here? When they first hear this Hold Steady, it's such a unique thing that, like, it hooks you in. And from there, you're almost instantly a fan. Hornets is a great song, but I put that one at bronze. And I put Positive Jam in the silver position for that reason. And Stuck Between Stations is like a single, basically. It's between that, Your Little Hood Rat Friend, and Sequestered in Memphis, that are the three songs that, you know, someone who doesn't know a lot about the Hold Steady will definitely know, like, because they are such great songs. So that's my gold.
Ooh. So let me make sure I have that right. You had Hornets bronze?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, same as Mike.
All right, here we go. I am going to tell you what the right answer is, and the right answer is actually what our guest Bill has. Positive Jam is bronze.
Hell yeah.
It's a great song. We've seen it open a million shows that we've been to. It's probably the one that will kick off any night, and you know, when you hear that, you're in for a good evening. But I mean, it's out of these three songs, it's probably the one that's the least. My silver is Hornets. It's just funny how that song always comes around. It's a great opener, but also it has, like, the running up that hill line, which, you know, Kate Bush has had this huge resurgence, like, right now because of Stranger Things. And it's like, here they were almost pontificating all these years ago about how great that song is. And here we go, before they even knew what Stranger Things was. And then Stuck Between Stations, like you said, it is a single. It is probably one of the biggest songs in their catalog. But, like, even just a bit about John Berryman and Taking a Walk, like, for people that don't know, he was a poet, killed himself. That whole bit, the lyrics are just great. And it's such an upbeat song, but it's really kind of these dark lyrics, which is something the Hold Steady does so well, that it's clearly the gold standard for this bit. So if anybody really wants to know, just ask Bill or I what the three songs are for this round, and we will let you know. But I will say this, for all of us, Stuck Between Stations was the gold. So mm-hmm. That is the clear cut.
Is that the first ever sweep we've had on a gold?
I think it's the first ever sweep. It's definitely the first ever sweep we've had with a guest.
Yeah.
It's definitely the first four-way sweep.
The one thing I will say about Stuck Between Stations, and it does not change my ranking at all, is that I think the line, he was drunk and exhausted and critically acclaimed and respected, is maybe the clunkiest line that Craig Finn has written. Like, that second part, the critically acclaimed and respected, just feels weirdly forced. Everything else, banger after banger in that song, but that one always takes me out of it. Like,
but yet 3%. That's a line that's made a t-shirt.
So go for it.
I'm not saying I'm right about it. It just always is a little bit like it just
and
rings
with the four of us, just to give you how tough this one really was, you could keep drinking, is Stuck Between Stations was the gold, but it literally is a tie for the silver, because both Hornets,
2-2,
and Positive Jam got 6 points each. So,
all right.
There you have it.
What does that do for overall?
All right. So hold on. We're going to break down the album totals now. So with the points.
This is going to be
I didn't realize this goes into like a broader math.
There is a lot of math that goes into what we do here on this show, which why it always just.
Yeah.
Kevin do it.
So Bill and I was going to tell Bill and our listeners. So we did the last three albums. We did this for gold, silver, bronze. We're kind of like Star Wars. We're doing it out of order. So we did the last three albums. Now we're doing the first three albums. And eventually we're going to do the middle three albums. And then we might have a showdown with the golds. We haven't really talked about that yet. Yeah.
So okay. The way the album totals break down now after this episode with these lists, the gold is still Boys and Girls in America. Clear run on that. The silver is Separation Sunday, and the bronze is Almost Killed Me.
And how many points separate them?
It's still pretty good. I will say, because of Positive Jam's strong showing, that Almost Killed Me is closer, but it's 4 points between bronze and silver, but it is 11 points from silver to gold. Just so...
Yeah, I think that's probably the order I'd put those albums. I realize you didn't ask, and you're going
to... This is our equation. So we're going to get to your result, but we're scientists. We have to do. This is a hypothesis. We're proving our theorem. Because if I just said Boys and Girls of America is the best record, people are like, what do you know? And now we're just showing it. But go ahead, Bill.
Now, yeah, you got proof. No, that's it. I just think that's the order of those three. Yeah, I don't know about overall, but that's probably the order of those.
Since we're on the topic and you're here, I'd just be curious, catalog-wise, if you had to pick one, does that still hold? Is Boys and Girls still your gold across the board, or does a late record kind of make a showing for you?
I think it probably is. I really, really love Open Door Policy, which I'm not sure if that's a popular opinion or not, but I think Boys and Girls America is above it for me.
All right.
Yeah, no, we love Open Door Policy here for sure.
I think that is a popular opinion, by the way. It's
okay. I mean, it's the one that could get into those three for me, into the top three.
All right. He's fully entertained. He's bleaching out the bloodstains. He's got diamonds in the drain. She said that she was coming, but she mostly just made hard, fast noises. It kind of sounded like the locust. Well, that was Diamonds in the Drain, and I want to thank Bill Childs for joining us. This has been great. It's been a lot of fun. Hopefully, we're going to see you out at the Hold Sweaty Runs.
Yeah, thanks so much for the invitation, and I look forward to seeing all of you come run or walk or stumble or crawl, anything. Sure. Just come on out and see the sun.
Yeah, no, thanks so much for coming on the show. And also, thanks for just validating my answers for Diamonds in the Drain. You know, because experts come on and then just tell these other two cool for the room guys, like, hey, man, there's nothing wrong with the big hit. Because I'm always the guy that's like, I like the hit. And then they're like, yeah, man, but that's not cool. And I'm like, I got to defend myself. Even last time when we were talking, it always comes up, a sequestered in Memphis, or you can make him like you. All the big hits, they're like, oh, yeah, man, you can't like those.
It's just that, Kevin, you and I have matured enough that we recognize
you.
This.
Thank you, Ben.
And Mike, you know, and Jasper will get there.
I will walk now, just that comment alone.
I felt the peer pressure. You guys are putting so much peer pressure on me. I had to pick the number hit as number one. But, Bill, we see you with all that radio equipment there. Where can... Is there another place like our listeners can hear you?
Yeah. So I do a weekly syndicated radio show, kids music radio show, actually like tomorrow will be the 19th anniversary of the first time it was on the air. Flagship station is KUTX 98.9 in Austin. We're on about a dozen other stations around the country. You can stream it online at sparetherock.com. And if you listen for, I don't know, every few months I'll play it. I actually have Craig did a in-studio version of Forever Young that is just spectacular, and I play it pretty regularly.
That's awesome. Awesome. Well, congrats also on 19 years in radio, because I will say, like, yeah, that especially to have a show go that long, nuts. That is very impressive.
Yeah, that is not my job, just so it's clear. Like, that would be a crazy way to
even
make
as a hobby. But, congrats, because attention spans don't last 19 years.
No, mine does not. Other than being married and having kids, it's the thing I've done longest in my life. Well, I guess pretty much, but yeah.
Bill, who was that girl that ran? I think it was Sheila.
Oh, Sharon Desch. Yeah,
you Sharon. Include
that, okay. Yeah.
I just wanted to give a shout out to Sharon because we went running in the hold sweaty in the morning, and then later that night we had the Yacht Club Music Fest with 40,000 fans, and she found me out of the crowd and pulled me out and said hi.
Yeah,
to me,
although she did not run either. She showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
but she showed up and had coffee. She did not actually
show
up.
She is one of my vice president of the Holt Spready. She doesn't know that yet, but she is now the VP of the Holt Spready Facebook group. Thank you, Sharon. Welcome.
All right. Thanks again, Bill.
Thanks, Bill. We really appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Once again, I want to say thanks to Bill Childs for coming on the air with us today. That was really great talking to him. Really great learning about what he does with the Hold Sweaty, and also just his relationship to the band, which I think is one thing we always find interesting is when we get to hear other people's experiences. And congratulations once again on 19 years in radio. That really is something special. Tying into that, didn't we have some news that we kind of got since our last episode that we wanted to bring up?
Yeah, actually, it's a good segue. Why don't we talk about the book that just came out, being that Bill told us about his children's radio show. It kind of fits right in there. So I just got my copy of Stay Positive, the song by the Hold Steady and illustrated by David Espinoza. So we have it here. It's pretty cool, man. Have you guys seen this yet? Have you had a chance to see it?
I have not gotten my copy yet.
So I'm waiting.
You must have ordered yours first, because they do them as the order was placed. Mine hasn't come yet.
Every time my dog barks at the delivery man, I get excited thinking it's here, but it hasn't showed up yet. Yeah.
So now, Mike, did you get the whole package, or did you just order the book, or what did you end up doing?
I did one of those two things. I don't remember. Money is just an object.
It's a very personal question. Do you get a whole package? Or
if you order the whole package, get the book. And obviously, we're in audio format, but I'm holding up the book, which is a signed copy of the book from the whole band, which is pretty awesome. The book is done really well. It's basically an illustration of the song. It's the song lyrics that they cleaned up a little bit for the kids, which was smart. I was wondering how they were going to do it. Like, in other words, in the part of the song where he says the scene will get too druggy, well, the scene gets too grubby here. So smart.
It's a good change.
But total all animal themed thing, which brings me to my second point. You get these awesome stickers of all the characters in the song, as well as this nifty water tower sticker and a sticker with the Hold Steady with the sun logo from the book. And we're going to put pictures up on our Instagram reel and our TikTok account. Speaking of the TikTok account, Heather with the henna on her hands did a reading of this book for us. Kind of read it like she's reading to a kid. So why don't we check out a little bit of that if we could.
Stay Positive, song by the Hold Steady, illustrated by David L.D. Espinoza. Water tower. Stay positive. I've got a lot of old friends that are getting back in touch. It's a pretty good feeling. Yeah, it feels pretty good. I get a lot of double takes when I'm coming around the corners. And it's mostly pretty nice. It's mostly pretty all right. He's so cute. because most kids give me credit for being down with it when it was back in the day, back when things were way different. When the youth of today and the early 7 seconds taught me some of life's most valuable lessons. Banjo solo.
All right.
I mean, that's pretty awesome. I will say this for all our listeners at home. Well, Gaspar has a kid. I'm pretty sure he bought that book for himself, so Heather will read it to him every night before bed.
I totally bought it for him. You even get this water bottle with the characters on it. Look at this.
Wow. Wow. You know what?
It's a pretty cool package.
They did a very nice job on that bundle. And if you didn't get it, I think you can find it on the Hold Steady website. It's still there for purchase.
There, Amazon. We could probably throw up some links in the show notes for that as well. And right in time for Christmas time. I know. So I just saw the other day it's 20 weeks till Christmas, which is a little crazy. Ugh.
I just know you're going to read that every night before bed.
I'm going to have Heather read it to me.
There you go.
Should we move on to some other Hold Steady news?
Yeah, I mean,
please, let's
a couple
move on,
of other
please.
Things that have announced recently, right? Wasn't there some Franz news?
Yeah, actually. So Franz has his new book out, Band People, which I just pre-ordered. I'm a little late pre-ordering it, but I did get it done.
Are we going to have Heather read that too?
Probably not. but we'll see. I mean, I'm going to check out the book. I mean, hopefully you guys are going to check out the book. I think it's something maybe we should talk about on the show. But most immediately to know is that he's got a book tour coming up. It's going to take him from – it kicks off in Denver August 22nd at Tattered Cover Books. He goes to Austin at Austin's Public Library on September 14th. Boston at the Brookline Booksmith on September 16th. He's here in New York at PNT Knitwear on September 18th. He'll be in DC at Politics and Prose, which is September 19th. He'll be at Rhinebeck on September 26th at Olong Books at Morton Library. Atlanta at Chappelle Books on October 4th. He's in Providence at Riff Raff Bookstore on October 11th, and then finally in Chicago at Seminary Co-op on October 18th. So good opportunity if you're local to that to check out the book, go meet Franz, and I'm kind of excited about it. This is going to be a nonfiction book, I believe. I think this is kind of the inside scoop on what it is to be in a band in the music industry. So might be right up your alley, Kev.
I'm looking forward to checking it out. And just for anybody listening, Oblong Books is in Rhinebeck, New York. So if you're in upstate, that he will be in your backyard as well.
How did I say it?
You said Rhinebeck.
I didn't say it. I don't think Rhinebeck. I said Oblong Books.
Oh.
Oh, well. Well.
Anyway, he will be in upstate New York.
And then just a final piece that I wanted to bring up, and I meant to bring it up last episode, so I'm probably a little late. I'll send Mike a link to this. There was the whole study are going to be on a tribute record to Jesse Malin. This is part of the Sweet Relief Musicians Fund thing. And a bunch of people on this, Bruce Springsteen, Billy Joe Armstrong, Lucinda Williams, Elvis Costello, a bunch more, and, of course, the whole study. So I would check that out. That's going to be them doing probably at least one Jesse Malin song, if not two. I don't know how that really works, but
wasn't the first Sweet Relief record, wasn't that for Victoria Williams? Isn't that the one where famously had the Pearl Jam
that's where
Crazy Mary song? Like, didn't it start with that one? So this is all the same chain? Yeah. Like, is it all related? They just keep doing tributes for different artists?
From what I understand, so it started with Victoria Williams because I believe she had MS, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And that's just a foundation that helps out musicians when they kind of fall on hard times like these, collect some money to handle some medical bills. I mean, as you well know, musicians don't have medical insurance. So when stuff like this happens, it's an organization like that that really comes and helps them out. So that's pretty cool.
Awesome.
But
yeah, everyone should check that out and do what they can to support, because the money's going to a good cause.
And we got some breaking news. We're breaking in with this actually after we recorded this podcast, because the news got announced after we were finished. But what's going on, Mike?
Massive Nights 2024 is what's going on, Gasper.
I know, man. I'm so excited.
We've secured our tickets. Luckily, Gasper bought my tickets for me, because I'm just I get too uptight when I'm going there, and I have to put it, look at the picture of all the lamp or street lights and which pictures have street lights in them and which don't. I always fail that test.
This is going to be a great year, man. So it's December 4th through December 7th. And the first night, they're kicking it off with a pub quiz. You know, I've done those in Washington and in London, and now we get to do it this year. Mike's going to be doing it with us, and I believe Heather's coming with us. And some pretty exciting news around the pub quiz. Mike, you want to tell them what it is?
Yeah, we have exciting news, Gasper. Martin Fitzgerald, former guest of the Hood Rat Recap, who does all the pub quizzes over in the UK, where they actually call them pubs, not bars. He is coming to do the pub quiz here at Massive Nights 2024 in Brooklyn.
Yeah, man, the quizmaster himself. I'm so excited. This is going to be a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun with him on the podcast. I had fun hanging out with him in England, so it's going to be great to see him in New York. And the pub quiz is happening at Talia Brewery, which was the sponsor for last year's Massive Nights beer. So excited to partake in some of the Talia brews there too, because they were pretty good. And then Friday night, there will, of course, be the soundcheck party. So Mike and I will be there as well. So if you see us, please come say hi. We'll have some stickers and stuff to give out. And yeah, man, Massive Nights. And while we're on the topic of shows, what else do they got going on? I know there's one more show in the area.
There's the Jesse Malin show is December 2nd.
Right. That's the tribute show. I believe there's two nights and they're playing on the second night, and that's at the Beacon Theater.
At the Beacon Theater. So excellent.
A lot of good stuff coming to it for us in December, man. Can't wait.
All right.
And that'll conclude our breaking news. So back to your regularly scheduled program.
And so I think we're just about done here, folks. What do you say, Kevin?
Yeah. Thanks, Mike. As always, thank you, everyone, for listening. We do this because we love it, but we also love that you love it. And if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be here. So we appreciate everybody who checks it out, listens, gives a comment, a follow, tells their friends. You know, we're glad everybody loved the Yacht Rock episode. This episode is just as great. I got to say, talking to Bill was really, really exciting. I also know that if I don't make the Holt sweaty, I will be there with bagels for the Holt Spready's first annual meeting. So, you know, give us a follow, give us a like. Gasper, why don't you tell them where they could find us on social media?
So best place to find us for our social media or pretty much anything Hood Rat Recap Podcast is our Linktree, which is linktr.ee/TheHoodRatRecap. So please check us out there. And if you wanted to leave us a voicemail message, could you do that, Mike? How is that done?
Isn't that how we got it from Mike from Roanoke with the great message about the Yacht Rock episode?
I think it was.
Call us.
Yeah, all that Mike from Roanoke did is he clicked on the link in our show notes and he spoke into his phone and left us a message, and we moved him right to the front of the line because there's really not much of a line, folks. If you send us, we'll move you right to the front of the line. Yeah.
And look, if you want to call and tell us, you know, why Bill and I are right about Diamonds in the Drain and Gasper and Mike are wrong, or you want to be on the cool kid's side and say, Hornets should be, you know, that should be the silver, everybody. Like, that should be the bronze and Positive Jam should be the silver. You could call us and just tell us how you feel. We really do appreciate it. But speak pipe is the way. This is the way.
All right. Well, I'm Gasper. That's Mike. That's Kevin, and that was Bill Childs from The Whole Sweaty. And us guys, and all you guys and gals, we are all the Hood Rat Recap. Child
party! Yeah, let's go for a run, baby!
There is that. But why don't we talk a bit about what we're going to do today, Mike?
What are we doing? I forgot. We're doing...
Mike.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can.
We're talking about Bill Childs, Mike. Okay. No, I thought we were going into a new segment. Okay.